Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 589. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Guys, I am so, like, backlogged in games. I'm more underwater than the flagship of the Russian Black Seas fleet.
Topical humor.
Oh!
I will say it is kind of sad to think about the fact that a lot of people just do not seem to be following the news anymore. So I'm like, I wonder how many people are actually going to get that reference to the fact.
Everybody that should get that reference. God damn it.
Yeah, I mean, they should, but Earl's probably right. They shouldn't feel, I don't know what that is. They're going to have to look it up. Use your Google machine.
It's funny to me because I find this, like, I'm a history person. I find this so interesting to follow. Like, this is basically the first war in human history that you could follow live and watch it happen.
Yeah.
Because if you think of, like, all the other conflicts, we've been so, like, distant. Like, even more recent ones, you know, Afghanistan or the invasion of Iraq in 2004, like, that stuff happened in an era where there was, like, widespread coverage, but we didn't really see it on, you know, TikTok or Twitter. Like, you didn't have that before. You didn't have, like, live video stuff happening. And now you can finally follow it as it goes along. It's quite interesting.
Yeah, and we're getting, I mean, and some of it is, you know, misinformation, but we're getting, like, we're getting reports directly from people in the area as opposed to having to wait for the 6 o'clock news or whatever.
Yes, and it's so fascinating in that regard, because even aside from the updates, it's like you said, you kind of get some misinformation, but you are getting a thing where people are learning how to weaponize social media, for better or worse. Because, like, yeah, the Ukrainians, I think, have done a really good job of, I mean, one, I think it's easy to dislike Russia, but I think they've done a really good job of, one, the president kind of being no nonsense and not no nonsense, but him being able to just kind of take the sill out of Putin in many ways by trolling him essentially. But you also get a lot of, like, humor, but, like, there's been a lot of information and videos on, like, you know, like, there's been a lot of abandoned Russian tanks, and a lot of TikToks have been about, like, what do you do with them? Like, how do you, you know, like, how do you activate them? How do you use them? How do you tow them? You know, like, I think the Ukrainian government has made jokes about, like, you know, if you get a Russian tank, you don't have to declare it on your tax forms next year or something. So it's stuff like that where it's, like, it's fascinating to see social media being used in such a way. It makes you see the strength and sometimes the scariness of it, though, especially when you get stuff like today where Mr. Elon Musk is trying to buy Twitter because it needs to unlock its true potential. What that is, he cannot say. But,
and, like, why didn't he, like, he was going to be on the board, like, that was announced, what, a week ago, and he backed out of that. Well, like, he could help unlock Twitter's true potential from the board. Like, why does he need to own it completely?
Well, I think there was something about his background check. Like, he didn't want some. There was something in there.
It was his background check, and also, it's his background check, and also, I think Twitter's board members are capped at, like, 15% of stock purchases. So if he wanted to have more, he couldn't.
He can't get a controlling share if he's on the board, huh?
Yes.
So just buy it outright, and then you have everything.
Essentially, yes.
Well, that's a mess.
Yes.
And there was that the whole. Did you guys hear about the Chinese social media? They have Twitter, but it's blocked by the state for the most part, except for what they want to see. But they have, like, their own version as well, and the Chinese people kind of push back against some of the propaganda that the government was pushing to the top this past day. So social media is weird.
it is very, very weird. And yeah, it's I don't know. It's scary what it can do, but it's also just as it can be just as powerful. I mean, there's been a lot of movements in the past few years that have been created on social media or been powered by social media, for better and worse. So,
yep. I don't know. I don't know what to say after that. How to transition out of
We can also introduce it. Earl's here.
Earl's here.
Oh yes, we forgot about. Well,
even out of the conversation,
we've mentioned you, but yes,
who's Earl? I don't remember.
Earl is here.
He's a man of mystery, international man of mystery. Well, international tomorrow.
You're not, yeah,
you count Canada as international.
It is another country.
It is another country, but
you need a passport to get there now.
You do, but any direction now, because
yeah,
you used to be able to cross over without one by land. But yeah, I can get to Canada quicker than I can get to Florida, for example.
Yeah, same. I think.
I think for all of us, we probably can get to Canada before we get to Florida.
That's, I mean, true. I can definitely drive to Canada faster than Florida, flight wise. I mean, it's probably faster.
Well, yeah. Part of the reason I started to go to, one of the reasons I went to Vancouver for the first time was like, it is equal distance time wise from they're both about 6 hours flight. So it's like, yeah. I mean, the reason I went to Vancouver really was because I was visiting a friend in Seattle, and Vancouver is really just like right over the water. It's like 2 hours or something like that. So I'm like, oh, it seems like an easy trip. I'm already here. And in my head, this was 13 years ago. I was never going to the West Coast again. That did not work out.
You're off to Vancouver shortly. And you, yes, you will be internationally traveling to our lovely northern neighbor. I'll be traveling next week as well to Boston for PAX East. I'm going to spend a couple days there. Well, I'm not sure what to expect of that. So,
yeah, I mean, I've not been following, but like, what is the actual game plan? Like, I haven't seen like any of the big, the big companies come out and be like, oh yeah, you know, catch us at PAX East. We'll be showcasing X, Y, and Z game, or we'll have, like, you know, I don't know of any big presentations. Like, usually Gearbox is a big one because they're, I think, situated in Boston.
And Gearbox will be there. I've gotten a bunch of emails from, they have a, in fact, they offered me to save me a seat for their presentation.
Ooh, Did you take them up on that?
I did not.
Not going to be sitting at the Gearbox table.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not. I don't know if it's Thursday. I'm going up Thursday. So, and I also didn't want to, like, two of my kids are going, so I didn't really want to like book any appointments and have to drag them to stuff where they can't get in because they have regular badge. So it's like, nope. I'm just gonna use that press badge and go around and see what's on the floor. But yeah, I don't know if like Nintendo or Microsoft are gonna be there. Sony normally doesn't have a booth. Yeah, I don't know what to expect out of this. I haven't seen the schedule, so I'm not sure what the panels are. And I'm really kind of interested in what the floor is gonna look like. There's certainly lots of indie devs that are going to be there, but,
and I'm also curious if it's going to be like, when we asked when they held in 2020, where like every station had hand sanitizer, and there was like people on the guardrails with just like clean wipes, just like wiping down the guardrails on the escalators as they were moving. I'm curious if they'll have that stuff again, or if it's just kind of like, pandemic's over again.
It'll be interesting because when we went, it was like right before everything shut down.
Yes, it was one of the last things I did. Because I remember we were all just kind of like, we came back like, oh crap, I have to have COVID. Because I think Boston had a big surge of it.
Yeah.
Because it was PAX and there was another convention going on like that same weekend. And there was like a bunch of cases that came out of those. I don't think from, I don't know if, but a bunch of cases came out of that weekend.
Yes. So I remember going back to work. I think we only had like work for the next 2 weeks after that before everything kind of shut down on the 13th of March. And the one, one of my coworkers was like, you brought that back, didn't you? Like, I am not sick. Of course, we didn't have the PCR test then, the home test or anything. But I was not sick at the time, and neither was my wife. So, yeah, I'll be interested to see safety precautions. I don't even think that they mentioned, like, masking in any of the, you know, in any of the official correspondence from PAX. I mean, I'll be masked, my kids will be masked, but yeah, I do wonder if it'll be just do whatever.
I think I think that's kind of where we are in general. It's like, you know, what's best for you at this point, right? We don't care. I mean, that's the official stance of the government, I believe, or a city officials. Especially being that our mayor is currently in COVID lockdown protocol because he has it. So, and then the Speaker of the House got it too. It's been a very fun 2 weeks of people getting it, reminding like this isn't over. But
yeah, and all those politicians that got it are all old. they're the most at risk to have extenuating symptoms and life threatening portions of that. Yeah, and you know, you see the backlash from any city that kind of tries to reinstate any of their you know, their protocols for it. Philly just said, oh, we're, you know, we're going back to indoor masking here. So if you go to a restaurant, or you know, back to if you go to like the Flyers game or Sixers game, you have to have your mask on in the inside part of the building. And that was just announced this week, and people went batshit. They're all just screaming about it. Like, just, you wore a mask for the last 2 years. Just throw it back on.
Yeah, it's so weird that people... But, I mean, I guess... I mean, honestly, I feel like those people they have to blame, though, are themselves, because it's so easy... We are so quick to just kind of like, oh yeah, the cases went down by 5. Take off your mask. Don't worry about it. Go, you know, gather 100 of your best friends and go to town. Cases go by 100. Ah, man, I don't know if we can do anything about. Let's see if it goes up anymore. And then, because I really don't know why we had to get rid of the mask mandate. I don't know why, like, why did, even if it's not COVID related, have people wear masks? It prevents sickness in general from spreading.
Right. Like, it just, like, you know, keep your germs to yourself.
Right.
No, I will also say from experience, for better or worse, like, it's not just people, because I've been to establishments where they were more than happy once that mask mandate was over. And they're like, oh, we don't need the, you know, like, you don't have to check vaccine cards anymore. Like, oh, we don't need that. I'm like, yeah, I don't know why you would not just like keep it going. But, you know, I get that they were hit hard and that kind of sucks. But at the same time, we've had this discussion before. I've had this discussion with so many people. Just because something's open, just because bars are open in movies, does not mean you're going to get people going back. It's not a mask mandate. It's not a vaccine thing. It's just that people have lost trust in these establishments, so they're not going back to them. And no matter how many shorthands we want to take to speed up the process of getting back to quote unquote normal, you're not going to do it by pretending that like the last 2 years haven't happened and continue to happen.
Yeah, you can't put the genie back in the bottle at this point.
No.
Although that seems to be what Activision and some of these other companies are trying to do. I think Activision is eliminating their vaccine mandate that they had put in place.
Yes.
Which just seems silly.
Yes. I don't get any good reason for it, especially being like, it's that getting rid of that, but they're also trying to get people back into the office, right?
Yep.
It's like, why? Especially being that like, so many companies last year were so eager to be like, yeah, you know, we're doing great. We're gonna get rid of like, you know, like you won't have to come into the office. And like it was great until it wasn't great anymore.
Yeah, I think certain industries really, for better or for worse, discovered that like if you didn't have people in the office on certain kinds of projects, you just fell behind. And I think anything that, like making a video game, it's very difficult to coordinate the activities of all these different departments because it's so complex from all these different locations. So there's a part of me that feels bad. They're just typing into a computer all day, but it's also like difficult for them to actually do their jobs. And they're not all in one place.
And I get that to a degree. Like, stuff like that, and also, like, you know, not all internet's created equal. Like, if you need to transfer assets, it's not the same thing on your home computer as it is if you were on the same network at the office.
Yeah.
So I get some of that stuff, but there are other times where I'm just like, but you could have, like, tried to make it work. And we spent so much time just acclimating to the current environment is, so I think, what is it? I always say we're more reactive than proactive.
Yeah.
Like you've had 2 years to come up with solutions and your solutions right. have just been like, no, we're going to go back to how it was before.
Yeah. I think a lot of industries have gone the other way though, right? They've discovered that when people were at home, they were more productive. It really depends on what you're doing and what the job is. Now, that doesn't say, I mean, maybe Activision managed the process badly, which, you know, would shock everyone. I know you're super surprised that they sent everyone home and they couldn't, you know, in 2 years come up with a really reasonable way of them working from that location.
And but, yeah, and they like basically, you know, the Call of Duty from 2 years ago, Black Ops, was mostly done by the, you know, when it all started. But then Vanguard, they kind of shit out. In the state it was, and by all accounts, it's in a pretty bad state.
Yeah.
And then now they don't have one on tap for this year. So, yeah, maybe, you know, their biggest franchise, I think really they're the only thing they release.
I was about to say, oh, your franchise. Basis,
yeah. Has struggled with this. I get it. It sucks. There has to be a way of, you know, figuring it out, and I'm sure they will at some point, but maybe once if Microsoft takes over them. So you had some news here. Well, but actually you saw the Sonic movie.
I did see the Sonic
movie. I wanted to go see it before we recorded, but I did not get out. The original Sonic movie, pretty good. Decent enough film.
I think this will be very much in that line of, it's good enough. Like, I don't think, you know, it's not going to win any awards, but neither do Marvel films. Hey, yo. But no, I think it's going to be one of those films where it's like, yeah, you go in and if you know what to expect, you're going to get exactly what you expect to get out of a Sonic movie. And honestly, I don't know what else you would ask for it. It was successful. It does well, you know, the audience that it's for is very receptive to it. And calling a spade, it's not like Sonic is the deepest, most intricate franchise in the world.
It's not what? Not what? Huh? I thought Sonic was everything.
I mean, based off the way some people respond to reviews, you would think so.
Where's Jeff to defend Sonic?
I'm always so fascinated by how passionate people are about certain stuff, and I honestly would not have pegged Sonic as one of them. Like, I know there's a passionate fan base for Sonic because, I mean, that the franchise has been going on for 30 years, and it's been good for maybe 10 of them, and that might be generous. And I like Sonic. I like Sonic. I like the Sonic games, some of them, but I think we can all kind of agree that the 3D ones have been a mixed bag quality. And I think that's
been a good 3D one?
I think I enjoyed Adventures at the time. I'm also a fan of Colors.
Okay, that's the one that I think Jeff said is pretty good. So,
but then the remake of it, I heard mixed things about. So it might, and yes. So there have been some quality 3D Sonic games, but I'm not going to say that they've been consistently good. Let's go with that. I think that's the kind of way to put it. So yes, and I think that, you know, they do a good job of introducing Knuckles and kind of giving, like, working out his, I don't want to say his origin, his backstory. Because I think, you know, like, it's been so long, especially for, I would say, the newer generation, that I think people sometimes forget that Knuckles was originally introduced as, I mean, he's an ally, but he starts off Sonic 3 and then Sonic and Knuckles as an antagonist. And the reason for that is, I mean, just he's tricked by Robotnik, and getting that across in a movie, while also setting up that, like, because you can't make him a complete idiot, because he has to be a noble warrior, but it is also a guy who gets tricked into thinking a guy who, you know, carries around a giant robot is a good guy. So, yeah, Knuckles.
They introduced Tails too, right?
Yes. Tails was a bit more interesting because I found I don't want to go into the characterizations of Tails, but I found that it made Tails a lot more fanboyish than I thought he would be. Because Tails is a very, you know, he's the inventor. He's very self-confident in his abilities. So I thought it was an interesting way to, I guess, get there by the end. And how he discovers, like, Sonic is, again, it's a kid's movie. You're not going to ask for in-depth plot. The one thing I will say, my chief criticism with the movie, actually, is that you've seen the first one, right?
Yep.
You remember the sister of the main character. She did not like the boyfriend, the Donut Lord. But she's in...
Yeah, it's where, like, she goes off to, I don't know, was it San Francisco or wherever?
Yeah.
And that's who she's, like, visiting with before Cyclops shows up.
Yes. So there's a whole subplot with her where she's engaged and getting married. And, like it's whatever. And then, like, the wedding sequence itself is, like, it's probably not as long as I think. But it felt like it was, like, a 15, 20-minute diversion. And, like, the big beef for me was really the fact that it happened. But, like, it has no bearing on the plot afterwards. It's like, it existed, they did it, let's move on. And I'm like, oh, like, she doesn't show up after that scene. Like, she's in it, and then she's not in the rest of the movie.
Bye!
Is that the only scene she's in?
Well, I mean, she's in, like there's several scenes related to the wedding.
Okay.
Like, but, like, once the wedding, and something happens at the wedding, I mean, they kind of showed in the trailer, with like Sonic opening a portal and the snow pouring in, and that becomes a, like I said, that becomes a side plot, and that becomes a sequence. It becomes like one of the big action sequences that leads into not the third act. It kind of leads into the end of the second act. So there's like a good maybe, I would say maybe 40 minutes after that, and then like nothing happens with, like, she doesn't show up again. The person in that subplot with her doesn't show up again. So it's so weird that it was included. I'm like, oh, you could have exercised this entire thing and nothing would have changed about the movie.
And the film's already, like, it's a little over 2 hours long,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's 2 hours and so something like that.
Sounds like you could definitely have cut that, and, you know, tightened up the film a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Question for you. So Jim Carrey's kind of come out saying that this might be his last film. Not sure how accurate that is, but like, do they get rid of Robotnik at the end? Like,
I could see them bringing him back, but it's also just as easy for him not to. Like, I feel like they could have, if they wanted to, they could probably set up Stone, Agent Stone.
Okay.
Kind of like the antagonist for the next one. But I think they have it pretty open ended that Robotnik will be back.
Hey.
So yes, I don't think, I also don't necessarily want to take Jim Carrey seriously. Because it looks like he's just having some fun. And he remains an absolute delight. I think he remains one of the best, if not the best part of this movie, of the franchise. I think it's like, you know, it's like Jim Carrey getting to be Jim Carrey, that he hasn't been in. I don't want to say he hasn't been, but I don't think he's done it as much recently as he used to do in the 90s.
Right. This is like back to like when kind of Jim Carrey, you know, was Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Are you saying he's not anymore?
I mean, he's more muted, I think. Like, it's not, and that's not
what happens to us in our old age. We get muted.
We get muted. Well, if you followed any of Jim Carrey, like, you know, Ace Ventura and, you know, all that run that he did, it was where he was basically like the biggest comedic actor going, for, a good chunk, a little bit of time there in the 90s. He hasn't been that. And I mean, you know, you get older, like, you're going to take more serious roles and maybe not try to be, you know, talking out of your ass, literally, in films anymore. But yeah, these just look like he's, you know, he knows what he's in for. He's just trying to make movies for, you know, to make kids happy again.
Yeah. And him just having fun. Like, you see, he's having a time of his life. It's probably also not hard work, because, I mean, most of his acting is done against tennis balls, essentially. So, yeah, he's got that going.
I'm still want to see it. It seems like it'll be, about the same as what that first one was. I'm just worried a little bit with, you know, the first one had this, like, it only had the one furry little dude in it, and this is now more animated characters going on. I'm just hoping it doesn't.
Without spoilers, it does tease future furry characters for the franchise.
Shadow and them, I assume. Or
I won't say who. I don't want to spoil it for the Sonic fans out there who haven't seen the movie yet. But
both of you. We're sorry.
I will say this much, and I found it funny. And I mean, he's not on the show, so he can't corroborate it. But I had a friend who went to see it, and we watched movies together on Saturday. And I was telling him I was going to see it, and I was just giving him a rundown of what I think was going to happen in the movie. And I was like, I came back, and I'm like, I pretty much called the entire plot of this movie, didn't I? Because I mean, it's not unpredictable. It is, if you've seen a kids movie before, like, there's even a dance number in here. You've seen this movie. And I was like, yeah, I knew how they ended the first movie with the piece of tail. This movie can only end with one of two people. It's either Shadow or Metal Sonic. Those are the only two characters that you could tease after Tails and Knuckles. So, yeah, I'm like, yeah, there's going to be a bunch of, like, there's going to be like one or two major action sequences. There's going to be a chase, Knuckles turn. Yeah, it's a very standard kids movie, but it works. So I'll give it that.
I don't think anything new really is hitting this weekend. So maybe I'll slip out and go catch that.
I mean, there's one major movie this weekend, but we don't talk about it.
Yes, I mean, there's that. I still have not seen the second one of that. I didn't like the first one, so.
Wait, like the... what are we talking about?
Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I like the first one. I did not care for the second one. I honestly, I think you were the first person I told that I remember this coming out this week. Because, yeah, it just feels like a movie. And part of it is I think they really had to hide the marketing because they can't say you know whose name.
Yeah.
And I think the second one soured people on it. It's also, it, you can sour people on a movie, but the other thing is if you sour people on a movie and then it's 4 years in between them, they sat in that sourness for 4 years.
And yes, they've sat in that sourness for 4 years, and this is supposed to be a 5-film series. Yes, like,
and they should be happy with their 3. Oh, I forgot, because you can't say what's the cause name, but then you also have other people who are upset because of Johnny Depp, because he was taken off of this movie.
Wait, we can say Johnny Depp, too? We're allowed to say his name?
He was, because they are both innocent or guilty, depending on who you ask. But, yeah.
I mean, that trial is going on right now, right?
Yes.
It seems like they're both maybe not great people.
Yes, I think.
And they were both shitty to each other.
I think that's the extent of it. And it's like people have picked sides. But it's like nobody comes out looking good in this situation. Like one can be worse than the other. But they were both not good for each other. I think it's the kindest way to say it.
That's a nice way of going about it.
But yeah, people were upset because he was taken off by, he was replaced by Mad Mikkelsen. And I will also say that, like, I like the first one, like I said. And I think when, what is his name? Colin Farrell turned into Johnny Depp in the first one, I don't think I've ever been more disappointed in a movie.
Because like, oh no.
And because you get like this nuanced character who has like this air about him, and then here comes wacky Johnny Depp. It's like, no, give me back the other guy.
Yep. So that's out there. I think I might go see Sonic.
I am excited for next week though, because the massive weight of
Unbearable
Talent is out, and that is really great. So I can't wait to see Nick Cage. Well, play Nick Cage.
I saw an extended trailer for that finally, and I did not really know where it was going. The short 30-second trailers they have been dropping.
Yeah,
just like, oh, what does he do? The fact that there's this whole like spy plot. Just
yes, I did not expect batty. That at all. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm down for it though.
Yeah, it looks stupid fun, so I'm definitely in. What I might not be in for, and granted, I still haven't finished Kingdom Hearts 3, Kingdom Hearts 4. You guys see the trailer for that?
No, all I saw was people complaining about it. That was all I needed.
Well, Earl, did you catch the trailer?
I've only seen snippets of it. Because, again, I'm not going to pretend I'm into Kingdom Hearts. I have no qualms against it. I've tried the first one, and it's a fine game. I don't know. I just kind of gave up on it. But yes.
They showed 4, and it's like this, like super. I wouldn't say super realistic, although the architecture and stuff, the cityscape does look very realistic. But then there's these like goofy anime characters that are more lifelike than they've ever been. Also, inhabiting this world. I don't know what they're thinking. In fact, that a lot of that trailer, there was not a lot of Disney in it up until the very end where Donald and Goofy finally showed up. But yeah, I'm interested to see where that goes. But
the one thing I will say I'm happy with is that it seems like it's just a straight sequel. There's no like in between clues. There's no weird naming convention. It's just Kingdom Hearts 4.
Yep.
I mean, granted, there is plenty of time for Square to get their hands on it and make, oh no, that's too normal of a name. but
when this looks like it is starting a new storyline. Definitely continues off of whatever 3 was, and I don't know how that ended up, but this kind of had like a subtitle for what it would be. I don't know. We'll see. I guess it's Kingdom Hearts is what, 20 years old now?
Yes.
So I don't expect to see that game anytime soon either, though. So
I mean, I guess that's the other thing. It's like, yeah, when are you actually going to come out?
Yeah, because it was all just a CG trailer. No gameplay shown at all. So I guess that's out there, though. Maybe we'll finally get you'll finally get like Marvel and Star Wars in Kingdom Hearts. It's like they could drop them in there now. 3 had been in production before I think they had bought Star Wars. And you know, you could definitely do like a Marvel world or something like that in those games, and it would probably actually look pretty good with the visual style they've gone for with that trailer. I just don't know how you adjust that to, you know, if you do the more traditional animated worlds.
Yeah, it's an interesting choice, and I don't necessarily understand it, but you know, it's not my game. But I feel like one of the franchise's strengths was like when you start doing realistic, it's like either gonna be really weird when you see some of the Disney characters in that style, or it won't be very uniform when they are more cartoony than the main characters are.
Right. And it's not like a Who Framed Roger Rabbit situation where you can have these realistic characters and then, you know, hand-drawn 2D animation next to them. Like, they've established that the Disney characters are 3D, so you can't do the Who Framed Roger Rabbit trick with this, which I think would actually maybe be pretty cool to look at, but we'll see. That game is probably like 4 years off, so
minimum.
Yeah, because they also did not announce a platform.
No platform announced.
The PS6. See you then.
Yeah, I would not doubt that Sony has their fingers in or is trying to establish this as an exclusive for their platform. So not sure how Kingdom Hearts 3 did on Xbox or PC when it released.
I would say the downside to that though is you end up like we had information come out this week, I think, that you know, like for instance the PlayStation was like the reselling platform in Europe last month. And it's like, yeah, so you can't count on it just being like this massive driver of content anymore, especially for a game that relies on not equal parts anymore, but it still does rely on Japan to an extent with some of its sales. And that's not necessarily where the Sony strengths have been recently. I'm right. Saying the nicest way possible.
And then you hear, you know, you see stuff from Square saying that, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy is finding its audience now that it's on Game Pass. So, Yeah, don't know. I think it would be best if it's on everything, let everybody play it. I mean, I don't think the Switch could handle it, but...
I mean, they've already dabbled with the cloud technology, so they have that as an option, I guess. Granted, I've heard nothing good about the cloud technology that actually powers the Switch version, but...
Yeah, I just don't want to. I would like to try it. I just don't want to put money down on.
I mean, there is a demo of it, right?
Oh, is there? Is there a demo version of the cloud stuff?
But from what I understand, from what I was told, is that the cloud version, the demo, because of all the cutscenes and stuff, by the time you actually get through everything, you just end up having to like waste your time. It's like a time demo, and a lot of it is eaten up by the opening cutscenes and stuff like that. But yes, I've heard nothing good about how it performs on the Switch.
Great. I don't think there was any other news this week. Just double check real quick. Nope. What do you guys play this week? Anything?
Oh, I played your guys' Game of the Year.
Game of the Year or
no.
Somebody else's Game of the Year.
You would never play this game ever. I talked about it last week because it was coming to Game Pass.
Mm.
Panzer Corps 2, guys. It's out there. It's ready for you to play on PC.
This is why Jeff is not here this week, isn't it?
He's like, I know Tony's going to talk about Panzer Corps. The funny thing is, so there's an achievement in the game for finishing the tutorial. The tutorial in this game is about, it's 6 missions. It took me like 3 hours to get through.
Oh, wow.
Only when I finished it, only 11 other people had gotten the achievement for finishing the tutorial. So super, super popular. But I've played through the first game in the series. There's a spin-off game called Order of Battle that I've also played, which I had actually mixed up with this game. I thought I had already owned it. So, but actually, this is a version of the game I've never played. So it harkens back to the old PC game, Panzer General.
Mm-hmm.
So basically all you're doing, you're moving...
Earth.
It's a turn-based game. You're moving like units across the map and attacking enemies and destroying them. It's not super realistic. Like for example, unlike real life, you can't like see an enemy unit sticking out, move 4 things next to it, and then have those guys all attack one by one, getting the bonus for having other guys next to it now. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like it's like a chess type game. In more of like a classic war game bent. It's a lot of fun. The units, you have like a core army and there's a campaign. So you have core units that over time get experience and can be upgraded to better units. So basically you would start off, say, in your World War II campaign and you'd invade Poland because you're playing as the Germans. Sorry if you hate the Germans. But you're playing as the Germans. It's the only campaign that's available. and you would start off with, say, a Panzer II tank. And you take it into Poland. And you invade Norway. And then you'd get to France. And maybe in France, your units would have lots of experience. And you could pay money that you've earned to upgrade it to a Panzer III. And then you'd conquer France. And you'd conquer Greece or Yugoslavia. And invade Russia. And then upgrade to a Panzer IV. So you can keep, like... you know, upgrading those core units over time. So it's kind of got like that same aspect that like an XCOM type game would have, where we have like these units that have been around for ages throughout
the persistent upgrades. Yeah. Like,
and it's they both gain experience and get you prestige, which lets you buy not just better equipment but more units. So over time, your core force expands. And it's got everything you'd expect. There are tanks, there are infantrymen, there are ships, there are planes, artillery, and there's the whole, like, this kind of artillery is good against tanks, this kind of artillery is good against infantry, so there's a whole, like, rock, paper, scissors-esque element to it. I enjoy these games. They do. They're time-consuming. I think the campaigns end up being too long. Like, for example, I think the campaign where you invade Poland and you do, like, the initial blitzkrieg type stuff as the Germans is, like, 22 missions, which is way, way too many. I don't need to fight in Poland five times. I know what's going to happen. Like, let me move on to other places. But it's enjoyable. It's a nice little diversion type game. I don't think a lot of people are going to like it as much as I do, but, you know, there's something wrong with some people.
Am I correct here in reading that it took 22 years between games?
No, I don't think Panzer Corps was that long ago. 22 years between maybe Panzer General and this game.
Okay,
like, so the studio that made Panzer General and Panzer General 2 went out of business.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So this game is like a spiritual successor type game.
Well, neat.
Yeah.
Okay, Panzer Corps was 2011.
Yeah. Like, I played Order of Battle, like, a couple years ago. It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that.
Yeah.
And you can only play as the Germans in this.
Yeah, so they, with Panzer Corps, they came out with a companion game that was called Allied Corps, where you could play as, like, the Russians and the U.S. And there are some downloadable campaigns you can get. I think they're all German right now, though. Let me see. I'm sure you guys are super interested and really care, too.
This just seems like a weird choice to be like, we've created this game where you can play as just the Nazis.
Well, it's kind of funny. So there's this World War II grand strategy game series I like called Hearts of Iron. Mm-hmm. And the done by Paradox. And they do the analysis of who plays as whom, because they get the data from Steam. And the Germans are, like, the number one chosen country, because everybody wants to play as the Germans.
You wonder if some of it is, we want to see if we can beat history.
Yeah, right? I think there's beating history. I think the Germans get, frankly, a lot of the cool stuff. They have a lot of, like, the interesting tanks and the stuff that people want to use. And they're also, like, the driving force behind what happens. So right. It's like, if you're playing as Russia and a game about World War II, you're just going to sit there for the first 3 years and do nothing? Boring.
True.
So if you play as Germany, guess what? You're number one. You're the leadoff hitter. You're right out there at the beginning. So.
All right. Well, enjoy your panzering.
I shall. Thank you.
Did I catch that you were playing something else on Xbox? Probably for achievements. For that new the new 500 point.
Oh, there. What was I playing? I don't even remember at this point. I didn't play it for very long. Gosh, Streets of Rage 4.
Yes, that was what I saw that you had started.
Yeah, I played through the first couple levels of it. It's you punch people and they die.
It's a fun game.
I didn't really like it. It all felt kind of samey. Like, you just walk around and punch people.
But I beat 'em up for that reason. I mean, the game had a good combo system. It's really fun in co-op where you can juggle people together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely seemed to be made for co-op. It was not made for single player.
You can beat the game in 2 hours, if that, maybe an hour and a half. It's not a long game, but I like all the unlock cool characters. I dislike how the unlock system works, because it's just like a general, like, XP system. which after a while just becomes a grind.
Right, it's just of, you're just playing the same levels over and over again to get your next character unlock.
Yeah. And yeah, and it's weird. It's like they wanted to do like I want to call it the Activision bar, but I'm sure not that everyone's guilty of it. But that Evolve bar, and it's like, yeah, that does not work in a game where I beat the game. Like, either have me go through the game with different characters. Like, you know, like I'm going to say 16-bit versions of certain characters in this game. So like, yeah, I will go through the game with them to unlock the 16-bit versions. But the fact that like, I just go through the game and it's like, okay, you just need to get like 100,000 more points. So I'm not going to, like, yeah, I'm going to do this like twice and call it. I mean, it's short, but I've beaten it like 2 times. I'm like, I'm good. So yeah. But I do enjoy it, and I'm also, you know, they're also the people I believe behind the Ninja Turtles, or half the people behind the Ninja Turtles game, which is also one of the reasons I'm looking forward to it, not just because it's Ninja Turtles and I was going to buy it anyhow.
Liar.
But I mean, we know that this developer can put this type of game out there and be pretty good, so. Yeah, well, did it unlock the 500 points, Tony?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I decided to, because I had already played Streets of Rage and Minecraft Dungeons and some of the other choices on there. One that I hadn't played was Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts, like outside of maybe the intro to that game years ago. It's one of the choices out of the 10 there. And I've unlocked 7 or 8 achievements, and it still is not popping.
Oh no!
I don't know if it's the 360, like it's just not reading those achievements or what. But also, I don't love Rare's platformers anyway. And this is a weird. It's not really a platformer. It's this weird vehicle thing. I don't know. That game's not great. I'm sure that if Jeff were here, he'd probably throw something at me, but
it's possible.
Although I do think I remember him and Fozzie back when it came out, not loving it because it was not a traditional Banjo game. Earl, you play anything?
No, I'm not even going to. Like, I mean, I played the same stuff I've played before. I played some Knockout Kings, Knockout City, which I think it was one of my top games of last
year. Yeah, it was in your top 10.
Yeah, they're a really fun game. They've added a lot more stages and stuff. And it's, you know, I've gotten a full squad together, so we play. We're trying to work out our teamwork. But we did win our last game on Monday. That was a ton of fun. Going through some Fortnite. I played a bit more of that Song for a Hero game. And again, unless this thing craps the bed, I'm assuming I'm just going to have the same impressions of it every week, which is that it remains, it's really fun and charming, but I don't get annoyed with it, but I do prefer taking in small chunks of just doing a world, which is about half an hour, and that seems to work much better for me. And yeah, and then I mean I've just been really busy this week. I can't think of anything else. I've gotten some games on my Switch for my trip, so hopefully when I get back I will not have anything new to play, because I will hopefully get through some of my backlog. We'll see.
Yeah, my son wants to buy a Lego Star Wars for the Switch for our trip to Boston. Like, but I've already bought it for the Xbox. we don't need two versions of it. Do what you want with your own money. So, just seems silly. Two other things real quick. I finished Castlevania Lords of Shadow, 2010 3D Castlevania game that was on the 360. Playing it for the VG Club show. That game's a pretty decent God of War clone. And actually still looks pretty good 12 years on. So I guess if you're looking for something to play, I think it's on sale right now, fairly cheap. So if you like God of War type character action game, it's a fun one to go with. Not necessarily like super Castlevania. I mean, you do have like a whip type thing, but it's more like Kratos's the Blades of Chaos that he has.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like the Gabriel's whip is certainly more like that than anything else. It's this chain whip with like a cross on the end. It's very combo heavy. I think it suffers from some of the same stuff that other Mercury Steam games suffer from, where controls get a little too many button combos to do things. Like you need to press, you know, your left bumper and your right trigger and X and B and double tap Y.
Well, I'm happy that wasn't just a Metroid thing.
Yeah, it seems like they've continued like from Castlevania all the way through Metroid.
As much as I enjoyed Metroid, I think you needed a third hand to really kind of get all those combinations going.
It's like they have a lot of really cool ideas in this. It's just maybe like you could have simplified it in some way. It's like they have too many ideas that they dumped in all at once. It's like, all right, so you have light magic, you have dark magic. They kind of counteract each other Ikaruga style. So if you're fighting an enemy that is using dark magic, you want to use light magic to inflict more damage. So like you're flipping between a bunch of different buttons, and then you know, there's all these different combos that you can access. It's just like Metroid, just a bit too complex for maybe what it's trying to be. But overall, I liked it. And it kind of jumps right into Lords of Shadow 2, which I don't know when I'll get around to playing that. But that one seems to take place modern day. I don't think it reviewed quite as well as the first one either. And the only other thing that I kind of touched on this past week, right before the show, I watched the latest episode of Halo. I don't know if you caught that, Earl.
I have not watched it. I am on the precipice right now. I said I would stick with it.
You're like, I'm done.
But yeah, oh, no. I didn't watch it this morning, and I got home from work. I'm like, I could watch it, or I can watch stuff I enjoy. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to maybe download it to watch on the flight. But it's going to be hard. Like in my head, I was like, oh, I think I said that. It's not a lot of genre shows to compete with. Like Obi-Wan starts next month, and like Moon Knight is on Wednesday. But then I forgot there's a bunch of other shows I watch that are not genre shows. And HBO Max is just like we're going to dump all of your favorite shows next week. So like The Flight Attendant's back, Barry's back, Hacks is back soon. Made for Love is back soon. So I'm like, and then, you know, Taskmaster just started. And I'm like, oh, like, I'm not up in this show. And other things are filling up. Like, honestly, I sat down. Like, I got to work. I'm like, oh, I didn't watch it this morning. And I'm like, I didn't miss anything. I don't feel like I missed anything. And I've read some comments. And people were saying that somehow this episode was shorter than that.
Instead of Halo, you guys should watch Is It Cake? You would feel so much better.
Oh my gosh, I saw that show. And I'm like, how do you make this a show?
Is it cake? So basically, they have these 9 expert bakers compete to bake cakes that look like things.
Oh, okay.
And people have to decide, like, they look at like 5 things, and it's like, it's something ridiculous. Like, they're like, you look at like 5, I don't know, telephones, and there'll be a telephone on each podium, and they have to like decide which one is cake. And they're literally like making cakes that look exactly like real things, and it's impossible to tell them apart.
Do they show them making them?
Oh yeah, it's a whole thing. It's a whole like contest. They're like competing for money.
It's kind of based off that internet trend from, I think, last year or the year before.
Yeah, where they're cutting the, like, is it a cake? And they cut it in half.
Yes. And it's hosted by, I don't know where I know
him
from.
It's one of the writers for SNL.
Okay, because he has, yes, that's where he is. Because he has a very animated face.
Yes.
Let's go with that.
Yes.
So, he kind of scares me, but yes,
he reminds me of the guy, the voice of You Don't Know Jack.
Mm.
Like, that's kind of, but in like real life, like as an
Cookie Masterson, like a live version of Cookie Masterson.
All yes, right. exactly. It's not Cookie Masterson, which is sad, but it's you know, the next
right person. Like, so somebody that kind of like would resemble that. Neat. Yes. I'll check it out. It's on Netflix.
Yeah,
I might have to check that out.
It's a music, my kids adore it. I don't know why. He's like, he makes so many bad jokes. it's fun.
Doesn't look like it. It only looks like there's 8 episodes, so it's not super long. So
no, I wonder, like, they may have played out the cake thing, like there may only be one season, but it was certainly entertaining.
Nice. In terms of Halo, I didn't think, let's put it this way, I still am like, okay, I'm fine with this. This one was, you know, there's so much backstory going on, and it's like, why is Master Chief in this? I think that's big question I'm coming out of. Like, I think it would be probably be better if it wasn't called Halo, or that Master Chief wasn't involved in it, because it just doesn't seem to reflect what we know of Master Chief. I don't know. It's weird. And Earl, question. So you did watch the previous 3 episodes?
Yes.
Have you heard the Halo theme at all?
No, now that you mentioned it, I have not.
It would be funny if they licensed the Halo like universe without the music.
But no, because that would be weird, because like the first episode, like I think we mentioned, has like sound effects from the game. It has like the shield recharge sound.
Yeah.
So it'd be weird. It's like, oh, we're gonna have like these great Easter eggs. We're gonna put in the HUD. We're gonna put in the sound effects, and it's like, we're not going to use the music from the game.
Right. That is what somebody would do who has not played the game, because you guys have played Halo. The moment that music's going, you're like, yeah, this is Halo. Dun, 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 dun. Like as soon as it starts playing, like you're like, all right.
Right.
I'm where I should be. This is great. This is awesome. It's Halo.
And I mean, maybe to the point of like, Master Chief hasn't really done anything since the first episode that like where you would have that music playing, but it's just so weird to not have, because I think the music is such an iconic part of Halo that not having it just kind of makes it feel off.
Maybe they're saving it for the last episode.
Maybe. I wonder if I know that Marty O'Donnell had sued Bungie and Microsoft over it at some point. I don't know if that was settled. I would assume that Microsoft has that locked down.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised sometimes, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they have it locked down for video games, but not other media.
That could be true, right? Like, you know, you always hear, we can't transfer this to a different console because we had only licensed it for the original one.
I can't imagine that Paramount would cheap out at that point. Like, oh, we're going to make something better, or like people won't notice it's not in there. Because
we're going to make something better than the most iconic video game of team of all time. We're going to beat that.
I don't know about most iconic. I mean, Mario's right there. But
it's so silly, though, because like, I mean, just imagine trying to do, and I guess they did at least one Star Wars film without John Williams, but like, just imagine trying to do a Star Wars without the theme, or like parts of his theme. Like, that's part of what makes it, is like, when you read a Star Wars book, like you're hearing that music in your head because it's just so ingrained in what the property is.
A Jurassic Park movie without any Jurassic Park.
Right.
You can't do it. You need it. You have to have it. It's wrong without it. It's wrong and off and bad.
Yeah. And that's kind of how I feel about like the music in Halo. Like, it's like, it's not bad. Like, the music they have in this TV show isn't bad, but it's not Halo. Which I think is part of, I mean, outside of Earl, who thinks it's boring, I think that was part of our complaints about it in previous episodes of this, is that it's, something feels off about it. It doesn't necessarily feel like Halo. Like, it has the, some of the stuff there, it's just not necessarily Halo-ish.
And maybe it would be fine if you were watching the show because it's Halo.
Right. Like, if you had called this, like, I don't know, Big Burly Space Marine or something, and, you know, this reminds me of Halo, but not, like, you're calling it Halo. You're calling the main character here Master Chief.
Yeah.
It's like you kind of expect things, you know, that you've experienced over 20 years with that property. Anyway, we're going to be off next week because, you know, as we mentioned at the top, Earl will be in Canada.
Oh, Canada.
Hanging out in Vancouver. You going anywhere else in Canada or just?
And Toronto.
Okay, so you're going both ends.
Both because, but I did it smartly this time, which is that instead of like my usual way, it would be screwed up. I'm actually going to Vancouver and then going to Toronto, which means that I will be above New York when I go home.
But it'll be the same time zone.
Yes. So, but what I did not realize, and I think they changed my flight, is I thought I got a direct flight home. I will actually be in Boston on Sunday, and it's like 4 hours away. I'm like, if I was in Boston, if I knew I was having it, I would have literally just, I could take the train home from Boston the same 4 hours it take me to stay over and wait, but it's whatever.
Well, so, yeah. Enjoy your trip, and we'll be back in 2 weeks. Earl, say goodnight.
Good night.